all present and accounted for.
How was the tornadoes?
Oh, don't worry about me. I was at the beach today.
Oh, oh boy.
Thanks for telling us. Yeah. It's cold.
Nice break, huh?
We needed that. That might be TMI.
Florida. Yeah.
Good
right.
for you.
Florida. All right, gang. It's 5:33.
Think Sarasota?
And I'm calling the meeting to order. Woo! Please stand for the pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Kirk, will you please call the roll?
Yes, sir. Director Brandt?
Present.
Director Rabasian?
I'm here.
Director Freeman?
Here.
Director Lieberman?
Here.
And Director Herndon?
Here. Full house.
Note that everyone is present.
That's good.
And just for the record, we would like to note that Director Rabasian is on teleconference.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. That moves us to number four. There have been requests to postpone the agenda item number 9, which is the closed session pursuant to California Government Code sections 54957 and 54957.6. And that postponement was suggested to happen until all directors are present in the boardroom for the discussion of the GM's evaluation and contract provisions. So, having said that, may I have a motion, please, to approve the agenda for tonight's meeting, including items 1 through 8 and excluding item 9.
I would move to approve the meeting, the agenda of the special session, March 4th, 2019, Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District, item 1 through 8, excluding item 9.
Is
or is it 1 through 10?
No, that's perfect.
Okay, yeah. 1 through 9, excluding item 9.
As amended.
As amended.
Is there a second?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for the March 4th, 2019 special meeting, including items 1 through 8, excluding item 9. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Yes.
Before you do, may I mention that when there is a teleconferenced meeting, the Brown Act requires that all votes be taken by roll call.
Yep.
Correct.
And with that, Director Graham.
May I just ask something for clarification, please, Linda?
Sure.
So I'm to understand there will be no closed session at all tonight, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right, roll call.
And with that, Director Graham?
Yes.
Director Rabasian?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
Yes.
Director Lieberman?
Yes.
And Director Herndon?
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Item number 5, discussion and possible action. Unit 9 tank project, we've got two issues, the approval of the expenditure of those budgeted funds and the authorizing of the general manager to submit the Unit 9 tank project sub-app. In an effort to be as efficient as we can be, I'd like to go back to Robert's rules and handle each one of these items, number 5 through 8, by calling for a motion first. And once the motion happens and is seconded, then we'll begin the discussion and just go right to the vote from when we've discussed it. Okay? So for number 5, could we have a motion, please, to approve the expenditure of budgeted funds to complete the environmental portion of the Unit 9 tank, HMGP, that's Hazard Mitigation Grant Proposal?
Program.
Thank you. Sub-application not to exceed 28,000 $750, and to authorize the GM to submit the Unit 9 tank project sub-application.
I'd move to approve the expenditure of the budget funds to complete the environmental portion of the Unit 9 tank HMGP sub-application, not to exceed $28,750.
Second.
Okay.
May I ask, in that there's also a second part of that where it is part B, or subpart B, authorized general manager submit Unit 9 tank project. Sub-application was in the original motion, so is that also going to be in the second, just for the record?
Yes.
Okay. I thought we were handling each one separately, A and B.
The board
Did I
can,
misunderstand?
The board can handle it separate, but the original motion was both together.
Oh.
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't explain that clearly.
Okay.
Each number on the agenda, I was going to try to...
I can amend that right now.
Go for it.
Move to approve the expenditure of budget funds to complete the environmental portion of the Unit 9 tank HMGP sub-application, not to exceed $28,750, item 5A. Item 5B, authorize the general manager to submit the Unit 9 tank project sub-application.
Is there a second?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the expenditure of those budgeted funds to complete the environmental portion of the Unit 9 tank HMGP sub-app, not to exceed $28,750, and to authorize the GM to submit the Unit 9 tank project sub-application. Is there any discussion? Kirk, you want to start?
First, I just want to thank the board for that clarification. Just for the record, we do need that, so I greatly appreciate the clarification. this project is something that Alyssa has worked on quite a bit in order to get hazard mitigation funding and the replacement of the Unit 9 water tank. In order to move forward and actually meet our deadline for the application, that is the reason or initial reason for this special meeting, so that we can actually obtain the 75% funding to replace that tank. If there are any technical questions, I'm going to really turn that over to Alyssa at this point.
A little point of order. Judy, can you hear this all right?
Sure, and I do have a question when you're ready for me.
Okay. I was going to start with you, Carolyn. Move along. Do you have any?
Mm-mm.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay, Judy, it's your turn.
Okay, thank you. What I wanted to ask, if I read this correctly when I was looking at the figures, and I'm totally in favor of this expenditure, there's a 25% contingency built into this project, and I just wondered if that could be addressed. It seemed a little high to me, and I just wondered. Maybe it isn't. Maybe I'm not understanding correctly, but I just wondered why it was that much.
I can answer that.
Go ahead, Alyssa.
So you're referring, Judy, can you hear me?
Yes, Alyssa, I can. Thank you.
You're referring to item 5B in the summary of the total project costs, correct?
Correct. Where our total is spelled out as $439,000, and I think it's the second or third line. It says 25% contingency.
Right. So
okay.
We can certainly bring this back to the engineers who developed this quote. They, you know, I think they put in a 25% contingency as a matter of course. But Jenny Melman, who is our engineer on this project, wanted to make clear to us that this is a very planning level construction estimate. Once the application is completely done, that means that the design will be completely done and we'll have a better idea of cost. This is not etched in stone, but we wanted to give you an idea. So absolutely, we can talk to her about cutting that down if that pleases the board.
Okay, I am correct in reading this that our share would be about $439,000, correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
And then what Okay, I won't get into what, where we're going to take this from. Okay, I mean, does that seem high to anybody else, the 25%? And I understand what Alyssa's saying is we're just kind of roughing this in, and that the finals will be more tight. But does that seem like a lot, 25% contingency?
The finals will actually be including with what the current costs are. So one of the reasons you have a 25,000 contingency, or sorry, 25% contingency rather than a 10 to 15% like normal,
right.
is
right.
that the market and the construction market, when we actually get this money and move forward on it, could most likely be in 2020 and extending to
okay.
2021. And so those market
okay.
costs are not dialed in just yet. And so once we get in there and we actually get engineering estimates that will include current costs, that's when it'll come down.
Okay, because the tighter we can keep those costs, the less our contribution. So, okay, that's good. Thank you very much. That's my only question.
And I can also direct you to the, the item, what do you call it? Agenda item document that outlines the funds that we were going to tap into to meet that match.
Right, I saw that. That was good. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Jim?
Oh, I had just a question out of interest. I noticed that we were having to get involved with the, or the engineers with the CEQA report. And I just thought it interesting that if we're doing 300-foot of line on Mountain Meadow North, it said that we don't have to because it's a pre-existing project. It's a replacement project.
Correct.
And I thought, well, if we've got our water tank that's bad and we're replacing it, I was just curious as why that's not a replacement and why CEQA is involved in that one.
So our current water tank is not large enough, the wooden water tank. So we cannot go higher because that changes our head pressure in the water system down below. So since we can't go higher, we can and we have the same footprint, we can put a metal tank in where that one's at. But we also have a pump house right there, so we can't really expand that tank. So we have to have two tanks side by side. So the existing tank will stay there.
Mm-hmm.
There is a piece of property that we've talked with the association about, and we've already done the survey work on. That if they are able to give that or donate to the district, we can put another water tank there. We don't have to have the expense of a bladder, a temporary water bladder. That new metal water tank will go in place. We'll demo the old wooden water tank, and then we'll put the new water tank there, and we'll have the current capacity and size that the district needs. So,
well,
if I'm talking a little loud, it's just so Judy can hear me, so I apologize.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate
that's,
that.
That's
now I understand. So the footprint's not exactly
it's
the same.
Changing.
It had to be exactly the same to be a replacement. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why.
Like kind.
That's good. Jim?
No, you just had, you answered the questions. I know that area up there. I'm just kind of curious where you were going to put it.
Due west of the current tank in the HVLA park. There's just a little piece of that park that if we can acquire that, we can put another water tank right next to our current one.
So it's really down from downhill slightly?
No, it's actually almost the exact same level.
Same level.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you drive up
I thought that driveway was all ours.
The driveway is. On the back side.
Oh, you're looking on the back side?
The back side of that driveway.
Why not just come to the front side?
Just because of where the plumbing and the pipes are currently.
Okay.
Going into the tank, we would not be able to dig down without actually severing all the pipes and current lines that go up to take water down to the customers.
So significantly more expensive.
They have to move that fire siren too. That's there.
Not for us. They don't.
No. No, not for you. Not for us.
What if we don't get that piece of property?
Then the project could not move forward.
Okay.
Under its current design, we could still do it. It would cost us significantly more money,
mm-hmm.
And we'd have to raise water rates a lot more. So we don't want to raise water rates to make this improvement any more than we have to.
So there's no other space or area to put it on another tank on except for this particular property.
Yeah, I mean we can do it. Don't get me wrong. It's just a lot more expensive. This is a clean piece of property. That would save the residents and our ratepayers in the long run hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And we also have to be cognizant of the defensible space that is required for this project. So that is 100 feet. So we're talking more than just the footprint of the tank.
Good point. Thank you.
And that's state law, defensible space 100 feet.
Are there any other questions or comments?
Not this time.
Okay. Well, it has been moved and seconded that we approve the expenditure of budgeted funds to complete the environmental portion of the Unit 9 tank HMGP sub-application, not to exceed $28,750, and to authorize the GM to submit the Unit 9 tank project sub-application. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Director Graham?
Yes.
Director Merbajian?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
Yes.
Director Lieberman?
Yes.
And Director Herndon?
Yes. Motion passed unanimously. Number six, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the expenditure of budgeted funds to execute design services for the Mountain Meadow North water main replacement, not to exceed $26,484.
I'll move to approve the expenditure of $26,484 for the replacement of the Mountain Meadow North water main.
Is there a second?
A second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve this expenditure of budgeted funds to execute design services for the Mountain Meadow North water main replacement, not to exceed $26,484. Is there any discussion? Kirk?
Just so the board is aware, this is the section of pipe that goes from Hartman Road underneath the guard shack right on Mountain Meadow, and then terminates on the first road that goes up to the left there. I can't remember the
Donkey
name.
Donkey Hill.
Donkey Hill.
And so it's that section of pipe. We have had extensive leaks in that area. At this point, it's much less expensive to make a replacement than it is to continue to make these repairs.
Okay.
So that particular section can't be sleeved or?
No.
No.
It's you can sleeve a sewer line. You cannot sleeve a water line.
Oh.
So this is the water line replacement. So this is only for design, but once they actually do the work, they will have to put in a temporary water line above ground in order to keep people in water. And then they can either, you can either dig the entire line up and pull that out and put a new one in what they call open trench, or you can actually basically bore in place. You can actually have a boring unit that goes down the middle of your water line, and as it, I call it a thumper, that's what we used to call them, because they actually thump, 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 and you can feel it shake the ground, and it pulls a brand new PVC water line in right behind it, and when it comes out in the other hole, you just connect them together, chlorinate them, and you're back in service. It's a lot faster and less disruptive.
Almost like drilling a well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only sideways.
Pardon me? Yeah.
Only sideways. Yeah.
If I may, and I think it's just a curiosity that you could answer for me. Coastline is doing the bidding for this, and I just wondered why we weren't.
Coastline is doing the bid specs for this one. And typically they have more access to the bid house. Right now, with all the goings on of the flood fight, we just don't have the manpower to really change that at this point in time.
They also expressed an interest to do it soup to nuts.
Yeah, they're
well,
they're
but I mean, they're actually going to advertise it, and that doesn't really require manpower, and that's just a deviation from our practice, and I just wondered why.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they are very willing to work with us, and any of those one-offs, low-hanging fruit type of activities that are required for the project, we will definitely be working together with them.
Okay. So we're not paying them extra to do that?
No.
No.
Anything we can do, we'll do.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you.
All right. Carolyn, do you have any comments or questions?
No, was this budgeted for?
This was in the CIP budget.
It was? What did we budget? Do you know?
I think it was 150.
Yeah, 150,000 roughly.
For the actual work.
Okay.
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 Anything? Jim?
Has Coastline give us an indication of what this, the 150, is that going to cover?
Well, it's going to depend on whoever responds to the bids. But the part of this $26,000 is going to involve the design.
Yep.
That will explain, you know, that answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
no,
we have to do
that.
The design first before we can get an engineering estimate.
No.
Based on current costs and materials. So they'll do the design and make the determination which is less expensive and going to last longer, as far as if we do open trench or we actually pull a line in. Then we can actually go out and get what they call engineering estimates, and
yep.
then we'll have that answer.
Typically, the bid will have an engineering estimate that the bidders will bid against, so it's pretty much a ceiling for them.
We
okay.
don't tell them.
So the reason I'm asking this is not rocket science. This is stuff we've been done for generations, for years.
Mm-hmm.
This ought to be, you know, you can look up in a blue book and say, you know, it ought to cost you $10,000 a foot to do this thing.
Yeah, the problem is there's other lines with the guard shack there. There's a lot of underground lines and
yeah.
fiber optics that we have to take into consideration. So that's where we have some variation as opposed to just
yeah.
having a clean, virgin piece of property and cutting it in. You can say, yeah, you're going to have $10,000 a foot or whatever. But in this case...
So I don't understand why we don't do what they did in the big dig in Boston, just cut the damn optic lines four or five times.
There's a Freeman approach.
Why do you think it costs $15 million instead of the budget of 10?
Exactly.
$15 billion, yeah.
yeah.
Right, and there's the
50%
whole
override.
Interim solution, you know, that you were addressing and that, you know, it could get complicated.
Yeah, and it's having that above ground water line. Coming off of a hydrant and then making sure that we tie back into the system so that we don't have anybody out of water during this whole process.
Mm.
We can still provide fire flow, we can still provide water usage.
Okay.
Okay. Move the question.
Thank you. Well, first, Jim, do you have any comments or questions?
No, I don't.
Okay, we're good then. Judy, you okay?
I'm all set, thank you.
Okay. Then, will the secretary please call the roll?
We'll change it up a little bit. Director Merbagian?
Yes.
Director Graham?
Yes.
Director Lieberman?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
Yes.
And Director Herndon?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Number 7. Recommend payment source for the multiple pumper truck invoices as a result of the wastewater treatment plant inundation February 13th through 16th.
Otherwise known as the Valentine's Day Massacre.
Okay. Did you? She wasn't talking very loud, Judy. Did you?
I didn't hear. No.
No, she said otherwise known as the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Okay. May I hear a motion, please?
I'd motion to recommend payment source for multiple pumper truck invoices as a result of the wastewater treatment plant inundation at 213 to 216.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we recommend a payment source for multiple pumper truck invoices as a result of the wastewater treatment plant inundation 213 to 216.
Are we going to have... didn't we use pumper trucks last week also?
Yes.
That's going to come to us the next
meeting. Hopefully a regular meeting.
Okay.
You want to give us an overview, Kirk, please?
So this was left very broad because at the time we knew or we felt that there were going to be more rain events, possibly additional pumper trucks. That obviously is the case. So there are additional pumper trucks that did come in. The total cost for all the pumper trucks and all the treatment at the county facility is pushing up around $900,000.
Wow.
We obviously don't have that money.
No kidding.
And so what we, you know, later on in the next item, you'll notice that we are asking to declare an emergency and have the board ratify that. In conjunction with that, Governor Newsom also included Lake County in the emergency declaration, not just Sonoma and the Russian River, which makes us eligible once again for Cal OES and FEMA funding to address these issues. So what we're really looking at is to do the exact same thing that we did last time. Unfortunately, practice makes perfect in that the district would use really operational reserve funds from the sewer department to pay for this and seek reimbursement from Cal OES. And we would do that, since we don't have that kind of funding all at once, we would do it again in stages where we get the funding back in, get it back into the operational reserves, and then make those fundings. And I think Alyssa has something to add to that.
Okay, so talking about just the recent chain of events, we had a visit from Cal OES, County OES, and Special Districts just this past Saturday, Friday. And the Cal OES representative toured all of the damaged facilities and then sent us a spreadsheet this past Saturday, to itemize all of the damage. What he's talking about specifically are emergency response procedures, that is also known as Category B in the OES world. And he said there is more to come. So this $900,000, to be brutally honest, is only emergency protective services. There is damage that we have sustained that we will have to repair that is not included, such as something happened to our telemetry in both the flood control pump station and the lift station 4 flood station. We're looking at possibly getting estimates for dredging of the detention pond and the retention pond also, because when you get floodwaters coming in there and they recede, they leave silt. So you get a shallower and shallower detention pond. So we're considering that damage. Right now, the pumper truck total is around $860,000. That includes the treatment costs that you mentioned. And the reason we rounded up is because we did not include overtime, vehicle costs, emergency repairs, administrative costs. So that's my story.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Okay. May I ask a question?
Sure.
So in terms of the emergency services, is Cal OES or the person who does the assessment of this damage aware that if we had a well-maintained, properly functioning system, a lot of this damage wouldn't have happened? And is there any, like, are they going to attribute some of it to that?
When we... We have a wastewater discharge requirements that was issued to us by the regional water boards, and in it, it described the capacity of our wastewater treatment plant, which is 0.894 million gallons per day. So when we fill out our reports for our spills, they want to know why we had a spill, and the answer is always the rainfall exceeded design. If our system worked as designed, it would still overflow because we had more than the design of the plant.
Yeah, so the hydraulic overloading.
Just a second.
One at a time, please. Go.
So the hydraulic overloading, even though our treatment plant can do 0.8 million gallons, I was talking with Dennis this morning and we had over 4 million gallons coming in. So there was no way that we could actually treat that amount coming in. And so they are very well aware of that. Additionally, Guy Childs from the State Department of Enforcement actually called Dennis directly and said, you know, asked him what we were doing, and Dennis let him know that we had pumper trucks in. Mr. Childs was very confident with that and said, you know, you guys have done this in the past, and he didn't feel a need to come out, even though he was in Clear Lake. He didn't feel a need to come over and look at our facilities personally. because he was very confident with how we were handling it. So from a state level, it doesn't sound like, even though we did have two Category 1 spills, it's very likely we will not get fined for that.
Okay. And then just the other part to my question, I apologize because I can't see what's going on, so I hope I'm in order. But
you're fine, Judy.
Thank you. Now, the expenditure we're going to make, and then wait for the reimbursement, and that's all cool. What will we not do in the meantime? Because this is a large expenditure for us, and it's unbudgeted, and I think we need to think in terms of not making other expenditures until we actually get this reimbursement or the total reassurance that we are going to get fully reimbursed.
So these funds we're looking at would be coming out of the operational reserves.
Correct.
And therefore, they're not coming out of our regular budget in total. And those operational reserves have not been earmarked for anything, such as purchasing. The operational reserves cannot be for capital purchases. And they have not been set aside to make any repairs. These are just the operational reserves that if we have an emergency such as this, we can use them. That's what the account was set up for. And we do have approximately $20,000 per fiscal year going in there right now. And we intend to increase that each year. But that's where we stand.
So how much are we going to draw out of there?
I think she was saying, how much are we going to draw out of there?
Okay.
What we're looking at is the pumper truck cost in total is $108,000. So we would pay the pumper trucks for the outstanding costs in the initial round. And you have to remember, we had more pumper trucks come, and that we'll have to address during the March 19th general board meeting. We would go ahead and pay them and put the request into FEMA to receive those funds back.
Okay, so you're only talking about expending $108,000 at this time?
Yes.
Yes, and
okay,
the county, we're going to work with the county as we did last time
okay.
As far as those costs. They give us quite longer to pay that.
Okay, thank you very much.
This board meeting is looking like 166.
Next one?
Just for the pumper trucks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard that, Judy, but the preliminary results that Alyssa has, you'll probably see a request at the March 19th board meeting for about $166,000 for the pumper trucks for the second round of rain events we had.
Additionally, with the 108. Okay.
That's
thank
correct.
You. Okay.
And no, is that total or is that?
No.
Okay.
That's
so
additional.
Okay. So 166. So.
Plus the 108.
Yep.
274.
Yep.
274.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we're going to request to get it back from FEMA.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
so.
Can talk more about it at the regular meeting.
Just so I'm clear, what we have to do is actually expend those funds and then get them back from FEMA?
Correct.
Since we don't have the funds.
We do
have the funds in the operational reserve account. This is the 313, 314 accounts that we have in
store.
For both or just the first round?
Just the first round, the 108 is all we're going to do. We're dragging this out so that we can pay it, get money back, and then pay it, and then get money back.
Okay, so we're paying it piecemeal.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought, obviously, because we're looking at 270 or 267 on that,
yeah.
on that for the
but,
particular
But
fund.
By the time, we will probably pay that whole 267 out of our
yeah, no,
reserve
I would expect
account.
It, yeah.
Before we get the first one back.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
Okay.
So is that our recommendation that we pay this out of the operational reserve accounts 313 and 314?
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head. I may have asked Trish because 313, I believe, is the
operational
reserve. 314 is the capital improvement, and we cannot take it out
correct.
Of the capital improvement account.
That's correct.
Okay.
So is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we're talking about. Operational reserves 313.
Correct.
Line account.
I think there's only 100 and.
There's 328.
Well, 126,000 in there?
300. 328, Judy.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
On 313?
Mm-hmm.
It's right there in the.
Am I looking at the wrong one? I'm seeing 313 wastewater capital facilities reserved for 260, oh, total, 317, okay.
You okay?
All right.
All right, so we need to vote.
Can I ask a?
Any additional questions?
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I do have a question, just because I probably don't know how to read it and I was just interested. I noticed that the Action, it looked like her unit price, it looked like that, was that truckload?
Action Sanitary?
They were at like $250 per, and then I looked down at North Bay and also at Fort Bragg, and they were in the.
$400.
$485 and.
$475.
What was the other one? $475.
Yeah.
$485.
Those are per hour charges, but we got gouged by those other companies, and they were not invited back to the party in this last storm. It's $475 an hour.
Okay, and is that the same way that we're billed from Action?
Yes.
Wow, so there was that big of a gap between the two?
And that's why they were not invited back to.
I understand, that's what you, Alyssa said.
Yeah.
They were, yeah, they're no longer a welcome guest, okay.
Correct.
Not at our party.
Okay, well, I thought I was reading it wrong, and I thought, how can there be that big of a?
Yeah, I've been chatting with Jan Coppinger over at Special Districts, and unfortunately, pumper truck companies are, it's not uncommon.
You're at a premium, and they have you.
They double it?
Where they want you when the emergency comes up.
Which, you know.
And they figure you're gonna get reimbursed, so, you know.
Well, they hope you will, but they really don't care.
Yeah.
But we have little choice, so. Thank you.
Okay, is there any other discussion? Questions, clarification? Deep breath, breathe, Jim, breathe.
We've got another storm this week.
Christ, there's so much to pay that kind of money.
Yeah, I know, it's a lot of money. All right, so we're recommending that the payment source be for this multiple pumper truck invoices. Be the operational reserves.
313.
313. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Director Graham?
Yes.
Director Merbagian?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
Yes.
Director Lieberman?
Yes.
Director Herndon?
Yes. And the motion passes unanimously. The last item for tonight is the discussion of the declaration of emergency due to the 2019 flooding. You want to give us a little bit of an overview and then.
Yeah. So last week, Lake County Sheriff Martin declared an emergency for Lake County. It is scheduled to be ratified at tomorrow's county supervisors meeting. We also declared an emergency as the general manager. I declared that emergency last week because of the localized flooding and, of course, the pumper costs that you just saw and the treatment costs for that water. So in order for that to really take hold, it needs to be brought to this board as a resolution that we recognize it. We will then file it with the county, and OES will have that on file as well, so that we can move forward and request funding to pay for the pumper trucks and pay for the treatment costs in this whole rain of what we call the 2019 storm event or flood event.
Okay, thank you. Judy, this was a hand carry, the resolution text. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna read it. And,
okay, thank you.
Okay, so you know what we're talking about. This is Resolution 2019-01, a resolution of the Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District Emergency Declaration. Whereas a sudden, generally unexpected occurrence or set of circumstances demanding immediate public action has arisen within the Community Services District of Hidden Valley Lake, which incident it generally describes as follows. Conditions of extreme peril to the safety of persons and property have arisen within the Community Services District caused by flood. Commencing on or about 5 p.m. on the 13th day of February 2019, and whereas the head of state, upon advice from the general manager of the Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District has determined that the aforesaid incident poses a present and reasonable imminent danger to public health, safety, or general welfare of the people or their property, so that it has become necessary for the general manager to utilize and coordinate the services, equipment, supplies, and facilities of existing departments, offices, and agencies of the Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District for the purpose of emergency management, public health, and emergency functions. And whereas the head of state has determined that the immediate public action is needed to prevent, minimize, or mitigate damage to public health, safety, or general welfare of the people of the Community Services District of Hidden Valley Lake or their property, which may otherwise result from the above-described incident, and that taking the time required to comply with various state and local procurement laws would endanger the health or safety of the people or their property. And whereas it is requested that the head of state declare a state of emergency in the Community Services District of Hidden Valley Lake. And whereas the constituents of the Community Services District of Hidden Valley Lake should be able to depend upon guidance from their general manager, Kirk Cloyd. Now, therefore, I, Linda Herndon, Board President of the Community Services District of the Hidden Valley Lake, California, hereby declare that as of Wednesday, February 13th, 2019, a state of emergency exists in the Community Services District of Hidden Valley Lake, California. This declaration of emergency shall remain in effect until further notice is given, pursuant to my judgment that the state of emergency no longer exists.
Okay, thank you very much for reading that.
Okay, and
I have a question. I'm ready.
Okay. Before we have a question, we need a motion.
Okay.
So let's go with that. May I have a motion, please, on Resolution 2019-01?
Is and will we adopt Resolution 2019-01, Resolution of the Hidden Valley Lake Community Service District Emergency Declaration.
Is there a second?
A second.
There's a lot of seconds.
Carol.
I'll fight you for it.
And just for clarification, we did notice a typo in here that we're going to correct on the signed copy. So the last paragraph, now therefore, we did have a community services Durit.
Yeah.
District. District.
We lost a C somewhere along the road. At any rate, now, Carolyn, would you like to?
So the state declared an emergency. The county declared an emergency. So why do we need, as a community services district, need to declare an emergency?
Because we are the special district to the state of California. We actually declared it before the county did. The county had not declared it. The state had not declared it when I actually declared it first.
And you did that when?
Last week.
Okay.
We declared a state of emergency because of the flood event and because of the hauling of the waste and the treatment. Mm-hmm. We knew what those costs were and that we could not afford that. So we had to declare an emergency prior to actually doing that. Mm-hmm. And if I had not done that, then we would not be able to seek reimbursement funding. So I made that declaration shortly after that. Governor Newsom declared an emergency, but he only had it for Sonoma County. Then once Lake County Sheriff Martin declared an emergency for Lake County, then the governor included Lake County. But we had already done that and initiated that whole process and called County OES and let them know of the cost. And that was one of the reasons that the county came back and was able to make that declaration. There are two districts, both ours and another one up in Nice, and they we are the two districts in Lake County that have had the same issues.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're not encroaching or infringing on a state or the county agencies, by assuming, sort of the by being sort of preemptive. So
no,
I just want to be.
We have to be as preemptive as possible in order to make sure that that was one of the reasons we could get Lake County to, and Dale Carnathan to work with Sheriff Martin to declare that emergency.
Alyssa?
I also wanted to point out that FEMA hasn't shown up yet. So until we get that FEMA disaster declaration, any local declarations just fortify the fact that there really is something going on here so that they can do their declaration.
Did you say any local declarations would just fortify? So they're not really like recognized, or what do you?
No, they're recognized. It fortifies. So it
strengthens.
It supports it. Okay. So, Linda, you declared this as of February 13th, and I believe the resolution said, if I heard correctly, that the state of emergency stays in effect until you declare that it's no longer in effect. And so how do we go about that, and when would it be declared over?
So it actually was not Director Herndon. It was actually me as the general manager that declares the emergency. And that declaration would stay into effect. In other words, if we have another rain event, they actually can include a future rain event, like we're going to have rain tomorrow and Wednesday, and they can include those rain events in this same declaration. So it stays open until the governor and the county feel that the disaster is over. Realistically, we could actually hold it open even longer if Poudre Creek were to continue to flow and we had other issues locally that didn't affect the rest of the county. But typically, when the county sheriff's department declares the emergency over, it would be over for us, and we just have to fill that date in that he declares the emergency over, as long as we agree.
Okay, so I guess my question is just procedural. Would we actually have to go through a procedure to declare the emergency over?
We don't have to have a procedure in adopting another resolution, but we would have to discuss it and note the date that it ended in a regular board meeting, not a special board meeting.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, and I want to make sure I understand this appropriately. Then my understanding of how this declaration happens is that you, as our general manager, have made this declaration on behalf of the Board of Directors.
Yeah, I made the declaration, but the board has to move forward with a resolution saying that they agree. Without that, my declaration loses all power after a certain number of days, and it basically just goes in the wastebasket. It doesn't count for anything without the board's support and agreement that a resolution or emergency is needed.
Got it. Thank you. Are there any other comments, questions? Are we okay? All right, then. Kirk, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the resolution 2019-01, a resolution of the Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District Emergency Declaration. Will you please call the roll?
Director Graham?
Yes.
Director Merbagian?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
Yes.
Director Lieberman?
Yes.
And Director Herndon?
Yes. And the resolution is adopted. All right. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Everybody's there. Will the secretary please call the roll? It has been moved and seconded.
Director Graham?
Yes.
Director Merbagian?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
Yes.
Director Lieberman?
Yes.
And Director Herndon?
Yes. Boy, it's hard to get out of here.
Hey, Judy, will you bring back some of that Florida sunshine?
I will, but Carolyn, are you going to sign checks for me on Friday? I sent you an email, but you didn't answer.
I haven't checked my email, but yes, I can sign.
Okay, thank you, everybody. I'll bring you back some sunshine,
Have a great trip, Judy.
Thank you. For
we'll see you when you get
home. Thank you, everybody.
Safe travels. All righty.
Bob took me down to... Las Vegas for my birthday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we saw Smokey Robinson.